Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. We are back indeed. Welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host with the most, the King of King himself, the man who always have a plan. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only,
Sean Black in the building once again.
All right. Well, once again, it seems like every time we have to apologize for something because our dates keep getting screwed up every week, you know. But once again, personal lives, things happen. But we, as always, like Sean always said, we are committed to do the show almost every time as we can. And hopefully we do the show tonight and tomorrow night right here on Blog Talk Radio. But tomorrow night, Sean Black and I are planning to return our sports show to entertain our sports fans out there because they want it, they demand it, and Super Bowl is around the corner, so we shall give it to you.
Yes, but please don't use our show as an excuse to bet because both of us will probably end up getting the wrong pick. So,
oh, trust me, as Sean Black saw earlier on my video, I asked Alexa who will win the Super Bowl, and I did not agree with her. So that should tell you right there. But the number to call is 347-989-8402. The number once again is 347-989-8402. Sean Black, for the 120th time, or 30th time, I lost track of the show. Are you ready to piss some people off?
Yes, I am. Let's do it.
Okay. First, I want to start with this. I have Tisha on the line now. Hello, Tisha.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. Well, before we go to our crazy topics, I want to bring this something up that I found it funny. Actress and comedian Monique, for some people who don't know who she is, she's a black actress, has been going on a mini rampage on social media because everybody likes to complain and throw fits on social media now, asking her fans and asking especially black people to boycott Netflix because Netflix had gave her an offer to do a comedy special and the price they offered her was $500,000. Monique was not satisfied with the offer, calling Netflix race and bias towards black females or black comedians. And of course, she'd be going on and on, comparing herself to Amy Schumer that got paid $12 million to make the special, Chris Tucker and David Chappelle, who got paid $20 million to do the special. So she could feel this, like I said, racism and bias. Tisha, I'm happy that you're on the line now as a woman. How do you feel about this, Monique thing? And do you feel this was racism or bias, or Monique overreacted?
I think Monique overreacted. And Monique, let's not mess up everybody's Netflix and chill because of this. But I look at it as Monique hasn't really done anything current, whereas people like Dave Chappelle is still funny. Even if he's going to sing the ABC says, Dave Chappelle is so funny. So I don't think it's so much so based on race and so forth. I just think that the offer that they gave her was what they felt, I guess, she was worth for whatever special they wanted her to do. So, I don't know. I think she's overreacting, though.
Sean Black, you're the type of person who likes to overreact all the time. What do you think about the situation?
See, Monique right now, as Tisha just brought up so eloquently, she hasn't done anything current. The most current thing that she did was that movie called Almost Christmas. That's the last Hollywood movie that I've seen her in. And that came out, a year ago, 2 years ago, 2016. What has happened with Monique is the fact that I believe on some level, even though she is very accomplished, she might have overvalued herself to the industry and has put such a high price of expectations based on the fact that she won that Oscar, as thinking that she should be able to walk in and demand pretty much anything she wants. Now, if we're talking about Chappelle, Chris Rock, Amy Schumer, Wanda Sykes, people like that that have been in the business as long as her, if not longer, but have actually done stand-up and have done it on a regular basis and as a much more known commodity, because of that, they're getting the demanding money and everything that they have. Is more backlash, and it seems like it's going to go against Monique, much more so because of her personality. She comes across to a lot of people as very confrontational, and I think a lot of the media that is looking at this right now is I should say social media. She seems to be trying to adjudicate what she thinks she deserves based on what she's not getting, and is trying to just scorch the earth by all of the people that she knows and just burn them all on her way to telling it like it is. And I think this is, I don't know if this is the way to go about it or not.
Well, one thing I need to point out, Sean Black, that you was wrong about Wanda Sykes and the payment. Wanda Sykes was offered less money from Netflix, and she turned that down. Nor anything else, she did not make any big fit about it. She decided to go somewhere else for a different type of money. So
okay.
Wanda Sykes praised it. She gave praise to Monique to stand up for her rights, you know, for, you know, not taking the offer because she, you know, for $500,000 or that nonsense. So I'm like, but once again, Wanda Sykes is just like Monique. What have you been doing lately? Is Amy Schumer funny? No, I don't think so. But like I told people, Amy Schumer is hot on the market. She's done a lot of movies. Be hot for the moment, you go what's hot. I'm sure Netflix did a research and look at Monique like, okay, what have you done lately, like she said. And people need to realize, it's funny that how some people were defending her, but they say they would not have watched her special. So I'm like, you just contradicted yourself, and that's why Netflix probably offered that much money, because not a lot of people might not watch it because, Sean, like you said, she's so high demand and everything. She's really full of herself.
Yeah.
But,
And Netflix is, if you think about it, Netflix kind of operates, even though it's a streaming service, it's pretty much like social media. Because if you think about how Netflix got into the game, they basically got ahead of places like Blockbuster and some of those other streaming sites or the old way of getting content. And this company themselves has always been ahead of the curve. So that a lot of artists that are taking their assets as far as what they know, and they're leveraging it against what the people that want to see them are going to go and do. Instead of going to the movies or going to the video store to get a DVD or et cetera, you're going to go to Netflix and do that. So the popular thing for an artist to do is instead of making a deal and putting it in a movie theater, you're going to probably make more on Netflix based on residuals and how many times it's downloaded, how many hours of content you provide, and do it in that sense. And I think this is what's been the future for a lot of this entertainment.
Just look at it in another way also? You know, Netflix probably also have budgets for certain movies and things like that. Are they really going to spend, let's say, maybe $2 million on Monique and her special didn't bring in enough viewers, you know what I mean? Because Monique hasn't been funny for me since the Parkers, I'm just saying.
And I think that's part of the
great
social...
She was great and precious, but it's just I wouldn't sit there and watch it.
Yeah, that's the reason why I'm bringing up the social part of it, because I think most people look at... The same way people look at Twitter and Facebook is the same way people look at Netflix as opposed to other streaming mediums that you can go to get content. And I think a lot of these entertainers are leveraging their popularity with going to Netflix or instead of going to, let's say, Hulu or going to any other place like Roku, doing something that's streaming, most times they're going to go to the top. And if the top is Netflix, that's what they're going to go to. And Netflix themselves are going to try to leverage that popularity and make money off of that. So that's what makes a lot more sense, especially now that we know that they're going to lose a lot of content because of the big deal that Fox did with Disney. So they're going to need to provide more hours of content, and they're going to have to be a little more judicious with who they're going to provide that content channel to. And then it's going to be the ones that are the most popular that are going to get the dollars. And if Monique is keeping her name there, whether it's good press or bad press, as long as she's keeping her name there, maybe it'll work out in some level. Who knows?
Okay. All right, K-Dog, take it away.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
What's up? Well, about the whole Monique and Netflix situation, what's going on with Monique is that if you notice, she has been blackballed because of some comments that she made about Lee Daniels and Tyler Perry,
Oprah,
concerning the
yes.
whole LGBT
and Oprah.
Part. I'm sure you guys know about that.
Oh,
and
yeah,
also,
definitely. Very incendiary.
Yes. Yeah, it's
but,
very,
you know,
it's
for
very...
what she says, there's some truth to it. But at the same time, there's a time and place for everything. You don't open your big mouth.
Exactly.
If you want to look for a job, you don't open your mouth. If I'm going to work for Tisha, I don't want to talk bad about Tisha to everybody
right.
now, would I?
Right.
I wouldn't want to do that. Yeah, because you know what? Let's just say like this. Like, you can't bite the hand that feeds you. You have to understand something about Hollywood. So when she did that, I said to myself, man, oh, man, she just really, like, ostracized herself. And as for Netflix, like you guys said, Monique has not been relevant as of late, especially in terms of stand-up comedy. You know, so when that offer came, and yes, it was her decision to turn it down, but now that you bring up, but then first you brought up the whole thing of race, but then think about Chris Tucker and Dave Chappelle. Now you want to bring up gender discrimination, and some people are laughing at her and some people support her. You know, but like I said, Monique hasn't been relevant on the comedic stage for a while now. She really hasn't done any stand-up.
Well, at that point, I'd like to move on to the next topic. This past weekend, it was a very weird, interesting weekend. We have a government shutdown, the one-year anniversary of President Trump, Kato's favorite president in the whole wide world. Shut up, Kato. Don't start.
Oh, brother.
And we also have a Women's March. And God knows whatever else that happened this past weekend. But I want to start off with the Women's March. Tisha, what do you think was the point of the second annual Women's March? Do you think we still need to have marches like this? Well, everybody know how I feel about marches and protests. And to me, I was like, okay, what's the point? This is the second year. You'll be due that age. Can we just move on?
I'm going to say power to the women.
Oh,
I'm sorry. You know how I feel about protesting. It's our voice. It was a chance for us to voice our opinion and with everything that's going on in the world right now. So I think it's great. Why not?
True.
We do marches for, you know, premature babies and things like that. Why can't we continue to do women's marches, bringing women together and so forth? You know what I mean? And us having a voice. It's about time we have a voice. So I think this is the start. Second anniversary, right?
Yes.
Second anniversary, yes.
So.
But, okay, you say this is a start, getting women together. But, okay, here's some negatives and some positive of that a lot of people brought up to me because, you know, people want to pick my brain out. The positive, yes, people got both men, women, children, everybody getting together. Yes, we need more of a change. It's better now for women compared to back then, for our mothers, our grandmothers. It's getting better, but there still need more changes to be happening. I agree with that. Don't get me wrong. But you have the feminists out there who's being all angry and who seem on their menstrual cycle nonstop, using some vulgar language on their signs and everything. like my cunt is no good like Donald Trump, something like that. And, you know, you have the angry woman out there. So do you feel that some protesters, some marchers are contradicting themselves? Like, if you want to march for your rights is one thing, but to be angry and go crazy is not the right way to go about it?
If you look at it, it's not the right way to go about it, but if you look at it, they're still voicing their opinion. It's no different than any other march that we will have that, you know, 1%, 2%, whatever, that small percentage that's going to voice their opinion in a negative way. Everything in this world is not positive, so I'm telling you, it's always going to be that percentage that will voice their opinion in a negative way, and it may be to their frustration of what's going on. We still don't have justice for certain things. We still don't have that equality for certain things. So we're always going to have that, no matter what kind of march we have.
True. Before I go to you, Sean, I know you got something to say. Excuse me. It's late night for me. But overall, you have your freedom to speak. So when we criticize Donald Trump for what he said, isn't it all about positive and negative? Doesn't everybody have the right to say what's on their mind, whether they agree with that person or not?
The difference.
Everybody's upset. Go ahead.
Yeah, what I was about to say is the difference in that is that Trump can say true, whatever he wants, but he also has power behind his voice. If he decides to make policy based on what he says or what he feels, he can do more damage to any particular group that he wants. And the march is to address your original question as far as what is the point behind marching and all of the other stuff. If you're going to have a march, it has to be followed by activism, and you also have to remember the reasoning behind it. We all know why, all about the immigration policies. The majority of the marches that the women have been marching against is mostly against the Trump and the Trump administration and their policies in general, to bring attention to all of those things that have happened. Now, we know that, as we talked about this last year, we all basically looked at how is this going to do anything positive if all they're going to do is march and nothing comes of it. Well, one of the more important parts of the march that happened was that Power to the Polls march. That was on the 21st, the day after, because there were a lot of cities around the country that did march, including in New York City, that's over 200,000. Los Angeles did over 600,000. But the majority of it was to get it, and one of the movements, the Power to the Polls movement, was to get women more active in not only voting, but to get more women in office. And one of those things that a lot of people don't realize is that, for example, in Virginia, the state legislative polls had 11 of 15 newly elected Democrats were women. You don't hear about that in government. Nevada, the first Latina to serve in the Senate, was elected this past election cycle. Those are the things that the activism is happening for. That's the reason why they're marching, one of those reasons. And that's why the marching is important. Whether you realize it or not, or whether you care for the whole idea of marching, it's the activism behind the marching is what's something that has to be done and brought to light.
Okay, so Kato, to Sean, to go back to Sean's boring stats, as always, he likes to bore me with them.
Well, I have to educate you sometime.
Oh, please. Please spare me. Please. Well, Kato, do you think that march will make a difference for younger generations? Like, right now, it seems like it's getting better. Like Sean said, there's more women in office, more women in power. So there's a movement. There's a movement. They've been changed compared to our grandparents, our grandmothers and mothers back then. Should females should be happy right now of what they have? Or do you think females want more and more and more?
Well, females do want more and more and more. And this is the reason why this movement is made. Remember, the march started last year to counterpart the day after the inauguration of Donald Trump. Now, what the women are doing, what it started was an organization. The women are organizing. And if you look at now that we're in 2018, you'll see more and more women pushing for political power. You'll see more and more women running for elections, because just remember something, this year is also an election year with the midterm elections. So more and more female candidates are coming into the forefront. Trust me, this is a movement that's growing by the minute. And you know, with the march, this march was even bigger. And let's not concentrate on just the fact that the march is taking place in America. Let's look at Canada, let's look at Europe, and let's look at parts of the nations in Africa.
So there's marches all over the world.
Yippee doo-dah day. After everybody march on Saturday or Sunday, whatever, everybody go back to their normal lives, whether it's fun or boring, on Monday. Please, people, spare me, okay?
I think they go back to their normal lives empowered.
I don't see a lot of talk, as always. I hear a lot of talk. Very few doing action. So you tell me, millions of people out there screaming, yelling, all that stuff, and signs up, but only very few, maybe 10%.
Excuse me, I'm not done with you, sir.
Let me speak first. All right, go ahead, man. So you tell me the 10% that's doing something with their lives. What about the millions of people? So you tell me, millions of people marching around the world, but once again, back to work Monday, back to their miserable lives, back doing nothing. I'm sorry, I see more words than action. Go ahead, K-Dog. Entertain me.
Well, okay, I could say I've always said the same thing about, we protest one minute and go back to business the next. But this movement, this is a movement that's growing day by day, and a lot of women right now are coming to the forefront, especially the younger generation that's coming up to the forefront. There's been a lot of things going on that more and more women are going into, especially with the Me Too movement and, you know, with all this sexual allegations that's going on, saying no to sexual harassment. I mean, a lot of ladies are taking the forefront. You know, it's growing. It's a movement. It didn't just happen on Saturday, but now it's just growing.
Yeah, and also I'm not going to say that you're being very dismissive of it. I know your thought process on just the act of marching itself. It's much more about the messages behind it. And as I stated before, although in your point being that they're going to march all weekend and then go back to work on Monday, the messages are being heard and the messages are being brought out there. So it's there for people to know about. People are not, as they used to say, suffering in silence anymore. Women are taking this movement and putting the activism behind it. Now, whether it's something that you may agree with or other people like you that don't necessarily care about, you know, well, what's the rah-rah-rah going to do in the grand scheme of things, it's bringing attention to something that was very, very docile at one point and very, very cultured to the corner and kept quiet. It's now bubbled up to the surface, and now we're starting to see reactions and results in other instances. Jobs now, people are starting that are employers are now having to become much more cautious with certain things. They have to be more cognizant of certain policies that they have for jobs and certain employment practices because of the voices of the women that are going out there. So there may not be a huge turnaround as far as progress, but the only way you can make progress to get from point A to point B is to take a single step, and that's what's happening with these protests. Part of it is it's going to continue, but it's going to take a longer amount of time, and that's what's happening right now.
Tisha?
And slowly but surely, just like what everybody said, it's the start of something. Things don't just happen overnight. And as far as with the march, it could also make employers more aware of how many women do I have. I might have 50 men and 3 women, you know what I mean, employed in my company. Maybe I need some more women to show equality. You know what I mean? So it's bringing more awareness.
And here's the funniest thing about the whole thing, just my last point on this, is that, as I stated before, the main premise of this was to protest Trump and his policies. It's funny that the day of the protest, Trump went on to his Twitter page and said, quote, "Beautiful weather all over our great country, a perfect day for all women to march. Get out there now and celebrate the historic milestones and unprecedented economic success and wealth creation that has taken over the last 12 months, lowest female unemployment in 18 years, end quote. How can you take credit for a movement that is actually against you in the first place? This is
he started
exactly.
the movement. He started that movement. He made people wonder, so he deserves some credit for it. It was not for this. Would we have a movement right now? Would we be talking about it right now?
If you want to put it in that sense, you're just asking my question. No, I did not.
No,
that is not the answer you're going to get.
Silent,
let me tell you why.
My question.
No. Here is the question. The germination of it? Yeah. His craziness and all of the policies that he's had that started a lot of this? Perhaps. But it's not something intentional that was done. So if this was some sort of high and mighty thing where he came out and said, well, I helped start this thing because I'm such a great person and loving care of women, et cetera, et cetera. If you really believe that, I've got land to sell you in Cuba real cheap.
Well, you know what? The problem with him is this. It's just that he's being sarcastic to the message that's being sent because there's been so much going on, especially in the terms of the women's movement. And this, I call this, Tisha, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hello? Yeah. Okay,
yes,
I don't want anybody to think that I'm being disrespectful. But, however, this is the new women's movement that's going on now. And it's and things are getting real. And we actually do see, like I said before, a lot of organizing. Women's groups are organizing more.
Okay.
Can I also look at it in a different way?
Go ahead.
How about with everybody saying, you know, Trump started this, how about with Hillary losing, it also made us rethink things?
It triggered
and
a lot.
We also,
yeah, that's true.
Yeah, it did. We had, I forgot what her name was. I'm sorry, guys. But she ran for, mayor?
Vice president?
I'm trying to remember her name.
Mayor?
Yeah.
She ran for mayor of New York?
Yes.
Oh.
She was.
Quinn?
I'm trying to remember her name.
I think it's Quinn.
There was Geraldine Ferraro. There was also.
No, recently. No.
Oh, Christine Quinn.
Yeah, that'd be Quinn.
Christine Quinn.
Yeah.
Quinn.
Okay. So it also put another person, in office to run this time around after Clinton just ran and lost. So it's a slow starting movement, and it's starting.
Okay.
Because we're getting it.
Yeah.
You're getting it, but Tisha, how about the guys? I'm like, of course, there's more employment and females and everything, but what is Me Too movement or this Time's Up movement, what happened to the guys now who are kind of like afraid to hire women because they're afraid of their agendas? Like, listen, now like Sean and I discussed the other day, with everything that's going on, you're afraid to hug a woman or to handshake, to give a lady a handshake or to give them a compliment. But there's all this involvement now or this, you know, brainstorming of Me Too. Guys had told me, like, listen, Hot Rod, I'm afraid to hire a woman now because I might get sued later on for just saying hello now. You know,
are guys really serious? Because
this.
you can also have men in this Me Too movement and men hitting on men at work. So tell me about that. I don't get that. Why are you so scared to hire a woman? Just keep it professional at work at this time. If you feel
right
that way,
that.
You're still gonna have to hire females. I mean, a guy can hit on a guy too.
Well, you know what it is right now that a lot of men feel touchy about is because of fear. Like, wow, if I say good morning to a woman or, you know, if I look her in the eye a certain way, she'll quickly scream and cry sexual harassment. And unfortunately, what this has brought, and I'm not saying, you know, something negative, but to keep it real, this has caused some men, I'm not saying, you know, again, I'm saying some men to be very disrespectful towards women. You understand? It's opening that door. You understand? Like, man, I can't even say what's up to her. I can't even say hello. I can't even shake her hand or something. I mean, she's going to scream and cry.
Kato's saying that like some guys are keeping their guards up now, more now than ever before, you know. And Brother B is on the air right now. Brother B, you touch me all the time. How you doing?
Salutations, everyone. How you doing?
Salutations and greetings,
what's up,
my friend.
What's up, my brother?
How you doing? Yeah. You're not going to like me.
I've basically gotten
to a back and forth with a friend of mine, and two other friends had kind of
male or female friend.
Oh, they're female.
Okay.
And you know, two other female friends of mine had sent me some text messages outside of Facebook that really made me feel a certain way. And my thing is this, why is every time a guy says something that a woman doesn't agree with, there's an issue? Yeah, there is a fear building, and that fear is going to backfire. That whole Me Too thing or your time is up, it's not a good look, because you already have men that are protective of what they have or what they attain in life, because you do have some women out there that play this game that I'm going to get you for everything you got. I know of you. And it's a low money to high, you know, high money stakes game. I'm not saying all women are like that, but not every man thinks like me. And there are dudes out there that think all women are like that. So once again, yeah, this fear is mounting. And I really think that this whole thing is not a good look. I think some more sensible women need to step in and step up and say, hey, listen, you're not your enemy. We want to get along, but this is what we need from you.
Okay, Sean?
But it sounds like an evolution of the old quote-unquote battle of the sexes argument that we used to hear about on TV in the 60s and the 70s. And I think for whatever progress that a lot of people think has been made between the sexes, there's going to be some consternation between the sexes going forward until, as I've said before, that there is some sort of rethinking and relearning of how to communicate between men and women. Like somebody stated before, of keeping it professional, you can start there. It's going to be after, if everything works out on the job, per se, somebody's talking and it's a male and female, and the relationships that happen at a job stay professional and nobody crosses the boundary, that's a start. The problem is going to be after you're away from the professional eye, and then you're in the public eye or in the private eye, unless you're going out to a bar or you're going out to the movies or you're going out on a date or whatever is the case. How do you act then? Then we will wonder if the relationships will change based on all of this stuff that's going on now. It has to be a relearning, and also a much more patient eye is going to be needed to see how this is going to work its way through over the next, I don't know how long the process is going to be. If it ever changes completely at all, probably never will, but at least something is starting from what where we were from 30, 40, 50 years ago.
So to Tisha and K-Dog, let's say you both guys have own companies. We allow a policy of we allow your employees to date one another with all the craziness that's happening right now. Tisha first.
Allow them to date each other? That's something up to them. But certain jobs, don't they have that policy about that? That you can't date employees. So that's my point. Let's keep it professional.
Yeah.
We know what to do and what not to do already. So let's just keep it professional. This should be an eye opener to keeping it professional. This is like a little wake up call. Hold on. Let me see. Am I going to say, oh, Tisha, wow, you look nice today? How am I going to say that? Or am I going to even say that at all? You know what I mean? Let's keep it professional. If you feel like I may lose my job, she might take this the wrong way. You understand what I mean? Keep it professional.
But then a lot of people are going to look at it and say that now that takes away the humanity from just a regular working relationship. How am I going to become friends? Because a lot of people work at jobs and they end up becoming friends with coworkers. And, oh, well, we're going to hang out. I've known them for so long. And are afraid, or maybe afraid, to just go ahead and say, you know what, that's a nice looking blouse you're wearing. Well, why are you looking at my blouse? You know, are you trying to tell me something?
And then if you have that person that's going to take it in the wrong way, don't even waste your time complimenting them. You know what I mean?
People,
if it's a person that you know is not going to take it in the wrong way, some people are exaggerating this Me Too movement also.
And you know what else, too? There's a lot of hypocritical words behind it, too, because you know what? Like the Me Too movement, okay, you might think that, you know, you're talking to a female at work, you're not being smart to her, you're not being nasty to her, but the way you talk to her, like if you're overly friendly, you know, that's just your personality, but you're overly friendly. Some females will take it the wrong way, like, oh, this person's trying to come on to me. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
That happens.
Yeah, but what happens What happens when you have that female that doesn't like you? What happens when you have that female that wants to jam you up? And there are dudes on the job that act the same way. My whole thing is leave your ego at home. Okay?
Yeah.
This is a workplace. Either you can deal with it, or you go sit in the corner with a bottle and a pamper on.
But that's like asking for the winning lottery numbers ahead of time before they get picked, you know.
But you know what? That's the thing. This is nothing new. People flirting on the job, people dating each other. This is nothing new. What has happened is it seems like we have this. Sometimes I don't want to use the word, but movement of individuals that are just like, oh, I want to fight for rights. Wait, okay, well, listen, you have your God-given right. Why do you feel you have to have your stuff recognized? Listen, I don't have a problem with gay people, but why are you – don't force it on me. Listen, you be who you want to be.
Right.
I don't – listen, because sometimes if you don't recognize my blackness, I don't have a complaint with that. So why do I need to recognize the fact that you're homosexual? I don't care. Live, laugh, love. I don't dislike you. I only dislike you if you piss me off, and it has nothing to do with your gender. My whole thing is this. Why is everybody looking for some type of damn recognition? Like, yo, stay in your lane. This is what it's all about.
No, you're
right. When you go to work, if you want to say, hey, oh, that's a nice blouse, if you're going to take it the wrong way, then maybe there's something wrong with you. Not wrong with the person that's complimenting you, because next thing you know, it's going to cause the friction that already exists between male and female, because guys don't want to compliment no more because they're afraid, and women are like, hey, oh, what, you're gay? You can't talk to me now? Oh, I'm not gay. I'm just not afraid. I just don't want to lose my job because I don't know what you or somebody else may.
That's exactly what I was saying. That's what causes a problem, because time and time again, You're gonna have that issue because you're gonna come into the office, and you know, you say good morning, or if you say hey, by the way, wow, so, like let's just say on a Monday morning, oh, so how was the weekend? Oh, what did you do this weekend? Oh, I did such and such, and that same female, who could be smiling in your face, could be the same one going behind your back and saying, oh, I wish he didn't talk to me so long because it's kind of making me uncomfortable.
Well,
you understand that?
For the record, Tisha, you know how I love how you do those polls on social media, you know, the hands on the hip. So I'm flirting with you right now. You know how much I love that, okay? I'm out and open about this. So it's an inside joke between her and I. You know what I'm talking about. But we got Phil on the line. Phil, what do you do? What's on your mind?
Oh, just the same old, same old. How's everybody doing?
Hey, Phil.
Doing fine.
Listen, you know, I'm listening to the show, and I'll just say this. I am probably the only guy that works in a pharmacy full of women. not counting the two male pharmacists, but I am the only guy technician in there. And I will tell you this, I have a great working relationship with my coworkers. I couldn't even ask for better. Shut up.
I did not say it.
And Rodney, just to appease you, and yes, because I know every time I come on here, you like to say I'm white. One of my coworkers is actually black, but she's lovely to work with. She does her job very well.
And that makes you racist. Not just kidding.
But here's my thing. And you know, sometimes every now and then we get personal while we're working. I mean, everybody knows what's going on. You know, they ask me how my mom is doing. They ask me, you know, my brother's having issues. They ask me, you know, what's going on. So, you know, we just keep it, you know, where we don't piss each other off, and we keep it professional.
Right.
And like I said, I couldn't ask for a better bunch of people to work with. I mean,
okay, so,
if I'll tell one
so
of my
how many,
coworkers,
how many people do you work with? How many people do you work with?
About five, six people, technicians.
Okay.
And then of course,
so you're very
and then,
lucky. Well, you're very lucky that you work with a small group. You know,
yeah.
That's why.
If it was a huge corporation, like let's say you were working with cubicles. And you had like 45 people working on your floor, and then you had to answer to like maybe another 200 upstairs, and that's when it starts to get hard. And
yeah,
that's where the discussion that you know that we're having, which is probably one of the more open discussions that anybody's going to probably hear. These are the kind of discussions that males and females should have, because let's really be honest. This is where the future of the conversation between males and females is headed. So it has to be, not to say nipped at the bud, so to speak, but it has to be addressed so that going forward, we don't end up having a cold war between males and females again.
Well, I will say this. When you are brought up with the dating, most companies will tell you you don't date your employees, especially if they're in the same group as you. They will discourage that. They will discourage fraternizing. They discourage fraternizing. But even though we know it does take place, I mean it does,
right.
And there's it is what it is.
Yeah.
No, I'm like, here's my, go ahead.
And here's my take on the whole thing. If I was an employer, and you know, I look at people whether you are a man or whether you are a woman. If you could do the job that is being asked of you, if you show me, you know, that you are capable and so forth, that chances are I'll take a chance on you whether you are a man or a woman because you can do what is expected to you. Now, Sean, remember all those years ago, do you remember a woman by the name of Carrie McTiernan?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Oh,
Kingsborough gave her a chance because she knew the game. She knew the game of basketball. Now, clearly, that only lasted a couple of years because the results were just awful. I mean, let's face it. We called how many games where the team did not look good at all, no matter what she tried to do. But the fact of the matter is, you know, they gave her a chance. I don't think because if she was a woman, because of what she was able to do. But bringing the media made a whole big thing out of it because she was the first ever woman to coach a men's basketball team, either college or pro. The media made it out. The media blew it up to a big thing.
Phil, thank you for the history lesson that I don't care about. Thank you so much. And let me go to the next topic. Well, lately.
Oh, I see somebody's got a thing up their butt tonight.
Oh, man,
that's just the normal hot rod way.
Well, I have one more topic to talk about, and I don't know why it's such a big deal, but everybody keeps talking about this thing. Something that I ordered for Sean and myself that's coming in the mail soon. Brother B, you want one, I will get one for you. There's $2,000 sex dolls that everyone is going crazy about.
Oh, my goodness. Don't get me started.
There's a war since there's a war going on between men and females, Tisha, you're going to be replaced by a sex doll on the show soon. So,
oh,
okay,
God.
Whatever.
Oh, my goodness.
So Brother B and Tisha, what's your intake about this sex doll thing, like this craze that's going on? Do you think this is a new thing that men will actually replace a woman with a sex doll?
I don't think you men would ever replace a woman with a doll. I will hope not, unless you guys are like, I don't know, emotionally or sexually lazy that you want this doll. I don't understand. Please don't compare it to a vibrator for women, because I've been hearing a lot of guys saying, well,
you know,
since this is late night, right?
You know,
yes, I know
there.
You guys will be going there.
Oh,
please don't, because we just have one little body part. You guys have a whole doll. You know what I mean? So I don't know what's going on, but I think it is crazy.
Yes, it is. It's insane. This whole doll thing, I'm like,
crazy?
Are you serious?
Is it? No, the sex doll is a toy. Ladies have their own toys. Why men? And this is a
male toy. So what are you guys
going
to do? Okay, you can't get a girl. You want you
first
tell
of all,
me. Well, it's all guys on the line, so I would like to hear, because I just have like
it's
a question
disgusting.
Mark over my head. I don't get it.
First, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. Like, all right, listen.
Yeah,
nothing is going to replace male female interaction. That's number one. Cuz like it was said before, and I'm going to repeat it, nothing beats authenticity. But you do have some weirdos out there, and you're not going to justify sleeping with a big-ass Barbie or a big-ass Ken doll. You're not going to justify it to me. Like, you know what's interesting, and I hate to get preachy, but I love when I have conversations with certain people, and they want to bring up, oh, you know, if God was so real and this and that, why is he allowing stuff like this to happen in the world, all this negative? And I simply sit back and say, well, if you're going to keep sinning, why should I save you if you don't want to save yourself? You want to sleep with a doll, man. We ain't supposed to be sleeping with no damn dolls. You want to sleep with a damn doll? Listen, if that's what you do, that's on you in another category, buddy. You matter of fact, you got your own lane, your own highway, your own state. That's on you.
Okay, but Brother B.
But real
but
talk,
Brother
there's
B,
no
there,
reason. There's no reason for this, man. There's no reason.
But is there a difference between a sex toy, a sex doll, and masturbation? If it's all about sexual pleasures right now?
Yeah, it's a big difference. It seems to be a big difference because, I mean, me personally, I think a lot of us, there's some people out there that are making it as a joke. The whole sex doll thing is a joke. But in the same token, there's a market for it, and you have
a huge market for it.
Yeah,
it's a very huge market.
And I guess those are those cats that just either don't want to deal with women or just can't deal with women. Like they don't know how to interact, or maybe somebody just wants to sleep with plastic and rubber.
Oh,
I
man.
Mean, like I said, that's all
no.
Well, but I'm like,
stated,
yo, real talk.
Yeah.
This is not what it's supposed to be about, man.
And it's
nasty.
We seem to be living in a world now where there are. It seems like every group or genre of people have separated from everyone else. You're going to have the groups that are antisocial. People that don't know how to interact with the opposite sex, don't want to interact with the opposite sex, and then there are some people that are some would claim as sexual deviants or sex craved, and they with women, but also at the same time they want to have their own dolls when they're not with women. There are so many different appetites for so many different people. But when these dolls were first introduced, as you stated, they looked like Barbie dolls, et cetera. We're not talking about the same types of dolls that we see joked about on TV. We're talking about, like, AIs, dolls that talk to you, dolls that will remember names, dolls that actually seemingly, from what I'm reading right now, can actually have orgasms, that have their own voices. And
when Sean Black. What was that movie with Will Smith? With the robot murdered somebody?
I Robot.
Yes.
There it is.
Yeah, I Robot.
There it is. Rise of the Machines.
Yeah. Now,
no. That was Terminator 3.
Yeah. It's one thing
yeah.
to be stated that are the difference with people and these dolls is that most people are looking for a companion, someone to share a soul with in another person. Others are just looking for a hole to screw. And if that's all they're looking for, then this is the market for them. This isn't, I don't think this is there to, quote unquote, replace human beings, which a lot of people think of, and a lot of people that have religious backgrounds that think a certain way toward this as, quote unquote, an abomination and a sin on the world. There are people, and I've seen, and if anybody's watched HBO, there are married couples that buy these dolls and have sex with the dolls as a couple, have a menage a trois with the doll.
Yeah. Oh, it, you're not it, lying about that.
It's just, in, as far as I'm concerned, as far as that goes, it's just another tool of sex play for people that are into this market. It's not for everybody, apparently, but for those that are indulgent to this kind of thing, more power to them.
Hey, so, Tisha,
I mean, if you want to get freaky, freaky, I mean, it's on you.
Well, Tisha, if you, not to get too personal about your life, if you have your husband come up with this idea to have one home, will you accept it? Or you come to a new relationship and, or you see, you go to a guy's house and you see this in the closet or in the bed, will you accept it or will you have questions about it?
I would have a lot of questions about it, and I definitely wouldn't accept it. It's not my thing. It's not my thing. And Sean, on the doll, is it flammable? Because I'm kind of scared. What would happen if it just blows up?
From what I'm reading on one of the websites, it's saying that it's some kind of material that's used that is probably heat resistant to some degree. Now, if you're actually having sex with a doll and you're worried about it bursting into flames, you're probably looking in the wrong market.
Exactly.
But the other question that I want to ask is, would you? A lot of people are not in relationships because they're afraid that their partner is going to cheat on them. Would you consider, if you're with somebody and you have a sex doll, would you consider that cheating on your partner if you haven't told them about it or if they know about it, as opposed to it being with another person? Because that brings another layer of discussion to a lot of people involved.
I will give that to Phil first.
I couldn't tell you. I'm not in a relationship, so it's really not for me to comment on.
Okay. Brother B?
I think we got him screwed.
He's thinking about it.
Listen, if you're going to go sleep with someone, if you're going to sleep with a doll instead of sleeping with your woman or your man, yeah, you got issues. Like, there should be no easy way out of, oh, I'm pissed off at you. I'm going to get Rodney out of the closet, and I'm going to go sleep with him.
Or you're going to put Rodney back in the
morning, so I'm
going to
take Jenny out
of
the closet,
whatever,
and I'm going to go
know?
Sleep with her. That doesn't make any sense.
You become a sex doll, apparently.
But with my luck, I probably worth $10, not $2,000. But besides that, I just think it's one of those sexual pleasures.
Well, at least we know you'll make some kids.
Hey, exactly.
Make some kids.
You. But with my luck, I probably make kids as a damn doll. But other than that,
don't
I
be surprised. They might make some with reproductive organs, so you never know.
I just think this is all blown out of proportion. Because of one thing on social media. Because like Sean stated, this is not nothing new. We've seen the HBO specials of people having sex with dolls. Now it's more realistic, I guess it is. And of course, media have to blow it up. For them to say that we will replace a woman with a doll, that is the dumbest thing. If you want to try it out, hey, knock yourself out. I'm sure Sean did it many times already. You know, I'm still friends with him. I'm not here to judge. But besides that, but I think if you're in a relationship and you have that doll, they should communicate together about it. You know, don't hide in the closet. You know, so when teacher come home, like, okay, what the hell is this? I robot, and you get freaked out. You know, overall.
Rod, hi Rod. Let me ask you this. So let's say you were that type to go get you one of those sex dolls. So my thing is, so when you're in the heat of the moment and, you know, I guess things are popping off, whether it's missionary or, you know, doggy style or whatever, and you scream, oh, switch position. Like, you know how extra that is when you have to actually move them into position? You have to pose them. That takes away from the fun. Like, that takes, that, like, why would you want to pose? How could you do that? You scream switch, and then you got to stop.
No, I'm not worried about that, Brother B, but I'm that age, 2 minutes, I'm good, one position, thank you very much for coming, clean up the mess, and I'm gone, okay? So I'm not even worried about that. But other than that, honestly, it's a lot of work, so is it really worth it, $2,000 to pleasure yourself for a few minutes or half an hour?
Yes, definitely.
Piece of plastic?
And you're paying $2,000, you could use $2,000 for something else, so.
Just remember, years ago, when they first brought these realistic dolls out, they were like $10,000, $11,000, $12,000. Now we're talking about dolls that are like $1,000 to $2,000, and they're self lubricating. Apparently, they have their own like mouth.
Oh my goodness! Lubricate. Wait a minute.
Eyeballs move.
Lubricating.
Yes.
That's it.
Like, that's what I'm reading right now on one of the websites. Self lubricating.
Damn.
What teacher trying to say, if you have that type of money used for plastic, use that money to get yourself a prostitute, or you know. Take a girl out on a date and get the real thing. Why spend $2,000 on plastic?
There's that separation of humanity now.
You'll be
shocked. Some people don't want emotions involved in these kinds of things. All they're looking for is gratification. And if they can't
get
it from a human, they'll get it from somewhere.
There's always a prostitute somewhere. There's always a woman with
it. It doesn't even have to be a prostitute. You could even have a woman that's on the same level with you. Let's just have a one-night stand and that's that. I don't know.
Rub us off the tequila. There you
go. It's still.
You never know.
But a big medical.
It still doesn't go.
I can't hang around.
Add up to the doll.
There's too much humanity with you. I can't deal with this human. You know, there's back to dolls.
Oh man. Oh no. They too emotional. They too emotional. That's the thing you hear. Oh, they too emotional.
But serious note though, guys, because all the drama and all the craziness that's going on right now, do you think some guys just cannot deal with the pressure of a woman, so they run to a doll?
But I
want to
ask all you guys something. Isn't the end result, what's the end result for you guys, when you're either dating or if some of you are married, what's the end result with that person?
We're miserable.
It's either
you guys
happy,
are not that miserable, so stop it.
It's either, stop it. It's two things that goes on, team. It's either you're miserable, or you're happy, or you're in between.
Can't you exit the relationship? Yeah, that was
exactly.
Pretty good, right?
You have to. If you're miserable, then get the hell out. Don't just sit there and complain about it.
But you know what? Let's be honest. We've got a minute left. For a relationship, it's easier to say that they're trying to get out of it, especially when you call, quote, unquote, love. You know, when you love with someone, it's very hard to get out. You know, let's be honest overall about that.
Yeah.
And it's just one of the things, we all have our different answers about love. What is love? What love is all about? And I think sometimes some people mix up sex and love together.
Yes.
Or lust, I should say.
It's two different things.
Together.
Infatuation and love are two different things.
Yes.
Being in love and infatuation.
Sure,
it's two
that?
Different things, because love is something that's deeper than infatuation. You can be infatuated with someone, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're really in love with the person. You're starting, you know, you have feelings for the person, but it's just infatuation sometimes. You know, it's a
the
whole
difference
different
between falling in love and being in lust. And that's the difference that a lot of people don't know the differentiation between.
Oh, well, guys, Brother B, Phil the Freshman Fisher, T, K-Dog, and Sean Black, thank you so much for making the show very interesting tonight. About time
thank
we talk
you.
About sex and relationships. And then, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in for another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. And tune in tomorrow night, Thursday night, where Sean Black, Phil, K-Dog, and I will be talking about sports. That's right, T. We talk about man things, ego things, sports.
Hold on,
yeah.
That's Phil things as well, because I'm a Patriots fan.
Oh,
that's what y'all gonna do? Y'all gonna boo me? Okay, whatever. Never mind.
Good night, everyone.
All right. Good night, guys.
Good night, y'all. Later.
Nice.